Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue in our studies of the Christian walk. And that phase of this study, which we wish to consider today, is found in John's first epistle in the first chapter, Walking in the Light. The Christian walk is the Christian life. We live our lives in a walk, and so many places in the Scripture, and even in the modern translations, where you have walk in the King James, you just have our life or our manner of life in the newer translation. It is our everyday life as we live it down here, and it's interesting. We spend most of our time for the Lord in a walk, in our lives, in our daily lives, and this life can be one of sweet fellowship, and we wish to consider walking in the light today from that first chapter of 1 John. We read in verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." God wants us to have fellowship with him. And if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. I think we should set this verse in its context. It's a matter of fellowship in the book of 1 John, in the epistle of 1 John. We read in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." And then our verse that we're studying today, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Now, to walk with him, we must also be in his light. And to walk with him will reveal our sin for what we are. God is holy. We read also in John's first epistle that God is love. First, we read that God is light. And then secondly, later on in the epistle, we read that God is love. And that love takes away our sins, even as we will notice further in verse 7. Now, we wish to consider Isaiah's experience in the presence of the God of light. Remember what we're saying here, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, that wouldn't be so apparent to Isaiah in his experience in the sixth chapter of Isaiah. He got into the presence of the Lord. I'm going to read it. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Now notice Isaiah's reaction to being in the presence of the Lord and seeing his Shekinah glory. Listen to what he says. In verse 5 we read, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Behold, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now, it's interesting to note in this sixth chapter, he says, "Woe is me." Now, in the fifth chapter, the young prophet Isaiah pronounces six woes upon the children of Israel. but he reserves the seventh wool for himself. I don't think he knew that he was reserving the seventh wool for himself, but he got into the presence of the Lord. Israel was bad. Israel was not going on for God. They deserved his woes that he pronounced upon them. But Isaiah has to learn a lesson here. He gets into the presence of the Lord, and then he says, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. That was true. For mine eyes have seen the King and his glory. All right. Isaiah had this experience. He got into the presence of God, who is light, and in that light he saw himself for what he was worth. Daniel had a similar experience. In the 10th chapter of Daniel, he got into the presence of an angel. And this was not a theophany. It was actually an angel. It was a glorious angel. And when he got into the presence of that angel with all his light and all his glory, Daniel said, my comeliness is turned into corruption. And it wasn't even an angel. But Job did get into the presence of God. In the book of Job, you will remember, some of you will, who have read the book of Job, that God tried Job. Job was a proud man, and God brought him into troubles to try him. This was at the instigation of Satan, incidentally, Satan suggested that God do it to Job. He did it. He brought troubles on Job. We can't go into the details. But Job was very unhappy with the Lord, shall I say. He couldn't understand why God was punishing them like this. And three of his friends came to console him, and they said, well, we know why you're having trouble. You're a sinner, and God is punishing your sin. Job says, I am not. I'm a righteous man. And he holds to his righteousness. They couldn't break him down. But God, in the 38th chapter of the book of Job, takes Job to task, and he gets into the presence of God. God appears to Job in a whirlwind, and he says to Job, he says, now, look, you have spoken in my presence. I have heard you speak in my presence, and I'm tired of what you're saying. You know, Job said of God, God is just setting me up for target practice. Oh, he accused God. And God says, I'm going to ask you a few questions. Where were you when I created the earth? Where were you when I caused the morning to break? Where were you when I did the wonderful things of creation? Well, Job listened for a while, and he had the same experience that Daniel had. He says, for instance, in chapter 40, where the Lord lets up a little bit and gives Job a chance to speak, Job answers in verses 3 and 4. Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Job at last agrees that he said too much. I'll lay my hand upon my mouth. And then later in the 42nd chapter, after the presence of the Lord is further revealed to Job, he says in verses 5 and 6, and he addresses his remarks to the Lord, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He got into the presence of the Lord, and the light of the Lord showed him up for what he was. Now, when we go back and read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, these words, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now we're having fellowship with one another, with the Lord, and with his people. That's the theme here, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship, that's a possessive pronoun, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, in this seventh verse, we, if we fellowship with God, have got to be in his light. If we're in his light will show up our sin. But just think, if you will, please, how the verse ends. It ends this way. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful, comforting to know that even though I am in the presence of God, even though that Job was, Daniel was in the presence of the angel, and Isaiah was, and oh, it showed them up for what they were. The light revealed to them what they were. They didn't have this comfort, not till later they were comforted. But think of the comfort we have when we're in the light of the presence of God, and His glory shows us up for what we are, and whatsoever maketh manifest His light, we have this comfort. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, we've got a right to be in His presence, and we don't need to feel uncomfortable. Our sins were put away upon the cross of Calvary. Isn't it wonderful how John puts this together? Well, he's putting it together by the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I think of this marvelous verse, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We don't fear God. And it's also a matter of fellowshipping with His people. Our fellowship with God will be shared by others who have had our experience. And we will even their presence will have a salutary effect in our lives. We don't want our fellow Christians to know some of our sins, do we? We confess them to God. We will have their presence. This is light. And when we're in the presence of God with our fellow Christians, we want to share the benefits of that light. We want to share God's thoughts. Now, also, we want to share the fact that Christ died. The blood of Jesus Christ died for us. The blood of Jesus Christ, or rather, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we share that with Christian people, and that's a part of our fellowship. Isn't it wonderful to meet a Christian, perhaps on a train, perhaps on a plane, perhaps on a bus, and find out that the blood of Christ has cleansed them? Do we get a ready audience when we speak of the fact that God loved us and gave His Son to us? We get a ready audience. You can be sure of that. There's a fellowship established immediately. Yes, the light of the presence of God will show us up for our sin, but God in His words assure us, and His word assures us, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We thank Thee, Father, today on the broadcast for the cleansing blood of Christ that You gave for us. In His name we thank You. Amen.